name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm going to say it again. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. We haven't got to sing that in here in a while. We haven't got to say that in here in a while. And I am extremely thankful for the opportunity to be able to shout it out and let it reverberate through these rafters today. My brothers and sisters, I've been reflecting on the entire gospel story here from our Lord's passion to his resurrection this past week. And I was struck by the characters that we encounter through this entire episode of biblical history. And there are two individuals that I think really, really, truly stand out. The first one, we're going to do this little flashback to Holy Week, is this guy named Barabbas. Now, we never hear about Barabbas before in the scriptures. He's just sort of there. And the crowd starts shouting that they want Barabbas freed instead of Jesus. And, of course, this crowd had been ramped up by the temple police and the high priests and all of these to sort of make sure that that happened. But who is this Barabbas guy and what happens to him later? Well, it's interesting to note what he's mentioned in all four Gospels. Not just one, not just two, not just the synoptic ones, but all four. This guy is mentioned as the one who is freed instead of Jesus. Now, in the Greek, he's referred to as a murderer. He's referred to as a bandit. The same Greek word, actually, that's used to describe him as a bandit is the same word that Josephus, the Jewish historian writing at about the same time, just a little later, uses to describe revolutionaries, people who are actively plotting the overthrow of the Roman government in Palestine at the time. So, there's this guy. And he does not appear to be going with the flow. He is a guy who is trying to buck the system. He's a guy who has been doing this, or being a part of this violent attempt to overthrow the Roman occupation of that area. And yet, they want him released instead of Jesus. Barabbas, whose name literally means son of the teacher or son of the father. Sort of odd until you look through the historical record, and that was actually a common name at that time. This guy, we don't hear anything else about. There is nothing in Scripture that really truly describes him or mentions him again. And so, as I often do, I look to the Christian tradition. What is it that the early church said about this guy, and what have the traditions been over the years about what happened to this guy and what all he did? And you would be surprised to know how very little he is ever mentioned. As a matter of fact, the only thing the early church fathers ever really seemed to say about him, other than, you know, who was this guy, was that he apparently, according to the church fathers, traveled behind Jesus and witnessed the crucifixion. There's a couple stories that we've heard that maybe he'd rejoined, you know, the rebellion. I don't know, with Luke Skywalker or whatever, but they had, and he wound up being killed in a later revolt. Others say, we have no idea what happened to this guy. He just sort of disappears into the midst, and he's sort of this strange figure. And somebody had emailed me this week about biblical miniseries and movies, and it got me thinking about some of the ones that I have seen in the past, and Barabbas is portrayed in various different ways. There's lots of ways to do it because there's no story there. You just want to know more, but we don't get it. I find that fascinating. I find that fascinating that this guy, this murderer, this guy who tries to rebel against authority, this person who is getting the punishment that he deserved by the law, is set free by Jesus. And then it occurred to me, oh my God, I am Barabbas. I am Barabbas. I am the one for whom Jesus took the punishment. I am the one. It's me. That really knocked me for a loop this week. Maybe that's why we don't hear a whole lot about Barabbas. Maybe it's because we're supposed to insert ourselves, our story, into Barabbas. Our own selves, as the sons and as the daughters of the Father. Our story is the story of Barabbas. Now, the other character that I kept thinking about this week is Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene has received a lot of bad press, right? We often hear of Mary Magdalene, and because of this confused sermon more than a millennium ago by a pope, conflating her with the prostitute who wiped Jesus' feet, we think of Mary Magdalene so often as the proverbial hooker with a heart of gold, right? Like, that. She's the patron saint of prostitutes. Did you realize there was one? They got one for everything. But we think of Mary Magdalene that way, and that's a little unfair. Historically speaking, she was probably a woman of very well means. She was one of the people who was supporting Jesus. So she couldn't have been a prostitute because prostitutes were slaves at that time. She was supporting Jesus' ministry and was there at the tomb. And she is the first one to truly hear the gospel message, the good news that Jesus has raised from the dead. And she goes back and she tells the other disciples. And for that, in the church, she is often referred to as the apostle to the apostles. It's a pretty good honor. Pretty high title. Looks nice on business cards, right? Mary Magdalene has a fascinating story, though, because we hear a lot about her. The church has filled in some of the details, if you will. As the churches want to do, we like to add stuff. We like to have these little backstories when we can. And Mary Magdalene's backstory is that as she went to the tomb that day, she figured she was going to be there a while, and she brought with her a lunch of hard-boiled eggs. This is the story, okay? And she had the basket of hard-boiled eggs with her, and when she had seen the risen Lord, she looked down in the basket, and all the eggs had changed color. Okay? And there you have the Easter egg.
You've got mail.
How many of you had eggs this morning? When people ask me, you know, how do you like your eggs? You know, fried, scrambled, I always say Cadbury. Everybody has a favorite. That's mine. Okay? Don't judge it. That was one story. The other story about Mary Magdalene is that she wound up becoming sort of this mystic who traveled the entire Roman world, and she wound up in Rome, and she went to Emperor Tiberius. And Tiberius, according to the story, entertained seeing her. She showed up, and she had an egg in her hand, supposedly to tell him the story about how the eggs had changed color and all this. And she was there ostensibly to complain about Pontius Pilate having condemned an innocent man to death. And so she goes and she's doing her spiel in front of Tiberius, who sort of brushes her aside and says, no man can rise from the dead no more than that egg in your hand is red, at which point the egg turns bright red. That's why if you see an icon of Mary Magdalene, 9 times out of 10, she has a red egg in her hand. That's your 50-cent piece of trivia for today. And he was, according to the story, the emperor was absolutely floored. Now, he didn't convert to Christianity, but historically he did have Pontius Pilate removed as governor and sent into exile because of his displeasure of doing this to an innocent man. So, we have two different characters. One, we fill in the story, and it's sort of us. And the other has a story filled in, but yet I wonder if we can't also take something from that story, become that character. I want you to imagine what it would be like if all of us had the fortitude of Mary Magdalene to go into the halls of power, to preach justice, to preach mercy, to preach Christ crucified, dead, and risen. What if we could do that through the halls of power, outside of these walls, into this broken world? What if we could throw ourselves into justice, into love, into working to be the people that we pray to be, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Oh, what a world we could live in. What a place we could be. What Christians we could claim to be if we could only go out there and have the fortitude to preach like that. My brothers and sisters, if we are Barabbas, we too can be Mary Magdalene. We can be the people who go out and preach the resurrection. We can be the people that go out and speak truth to power. We can be the people that can work slowly and diligently, but diligently, at changing the world. One heart at a time, one mind at a time, one small act of service at a time for our risen Savior. Easter is about resurrection. It's about new hope. It's about new possibilities. And my brothers and sisters, this is a world ripe for new possibilities. This world longs to hear the hope that death is dead, that we have new and eternal life, abundant life, that we can go out and live into by the mercy of our God who has given himself for us and raised his Son for us. We can go out and preach. We can go out and serve. My brothers and sisters, Easter gives us the power to preach. It gives us hope for the hopeless. We just have to take that message out behind these walls, outside of our homes, and into the world. I pray that each of us, like Mary Magdalene, goes unafraid. Take an egg, apparently, but go unafraid to preach the good news. Alleluia, the Lord is risen. We're going to have to practice that. Alleluia, the Lord is risen. We're going to keep practicing. But I don't want you just to practice it here. Go out there and practice too. Amen.